Hey everyone, welcome back to Sophomore Citizens. I'm Gigi.
I'm Liesl.
And I'm Lily.
Okay, so for today's check-in, we decided we wanted to play a fun little game commonly known as Fuck, Marry, Kill, but in my family, we enjoy calling it Shag, Marry, Avoid. A little bit nicer, you know, a little bit less violent than...
And more posh and British.
Exactly. All right, so I will start off with my Shag, Marry, Avoid. These three have been on the mind for a while now. We have Miss Olivia Rodrigo, Mr. Joshua Bassett, and Miss Sabrina Carpenter. And please don't like discriminate based on gender.
No, my Shag, Marry, Avoid also, you cannot discriminate based on gender.
Yeah.
It is free flowing, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Liesl, this is a really good one.
Thank you.
I know mine. I'm going to marry Olivia Rodrigo.
Okay.
She has so much money, so much budding talent. Like, she'll be my wife. I will shag Joshua Bassett, and I will kill Sabrina Carpenter because she just doesn't really mean that much to me, other than the work that she did in her famous Netflix movie, Work It, which is already out. I can already view as many times as I want. I don't need anything else from her.
I'm struggling to come up with mine. I mean, being that I did binge High School Musical, the musical, the series in 2 days, I do feel a special connection with Mr. Joshua and Miss Olivia. So I feel like I should avoid or kill, but we don't want to kill her. Sabrina Carpenter.
Avoid.
And let's fuck around and shag Joshua for the clout. And then I'm going to marry Olivia.
Okay, nice. Personally, I would marry Olivia, of course. I would shag Sabrina and I would avoid Mr. Joshua Bassett because I think he brings the least to the table, both in his acting and in his vocal, you know, musical performances. And I've been seeing him on TikTok just kind of like shading Miss Olivia and just being kind of unnecessary. And I feel like the
shading
queens,
her saying what?
Well, he was trying to be like, he made this TikTok the same day that she released her song Deja Vu, where he was like, you know, the world doesn't revolve around you. And he didn't say that, he didn't say a name. Like, he just kept it completely ambiguous. But like, when you release a TikTok the same day that she's releasing her song, that's probably about you. And you say like, the world doesn't revolve around you. Like, news alert, the world doesn't revolve around you.
Okay. I'll still keep kind of like, you know, keeping my eyes and ears peeled for the drama between these guys. But it also just seems like such a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing.
Yeah.
It seems like everyone's in on it. You know, like the day she releases her song and then a few days later he releases his song in response, and then Sabrina has her song and then the TikTok and the this and the that. And I'm just like, I'll like still tune in to a certain extent, but it just seems like very manufactured.
I agree.
Okay, I can go next. I have a pretend one and then I have a real one. Can I do two? My pretend one is graham cracker marshmallow chocolate.
Okay, no, I love this. I love this and I can answer very easily. I would, of course, marry chocolate, shag the marshmallow, and avoid the graham cracker because I'm just not a big fan of graham crackers.
Oh, okay, Liesl, that's very interesting. Yeah. Jay?
This is really difficult because I love all three, but I'm going to have to marry chocolate, shag the graham cracker, and avoid the marshmallow.
I agree with you. That's what I would do as well.
Yeah. Okay, now let's hear your other one.
My people one is a battle of the Johns, John Mayer, John Legend, and John Mulaney.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's a great
that's
one,
a good
the Johns.
One, Lily. I like that. Okay, wait, so we have John Mayer, who whenever he's included in one of these lists, like it just is really conflicting for me because, of course, I love his songs. But, of course, I've heard the rumors about his personality and him being just so negative towards women.
Yes.
So
wait, I didn't know what's wrong with his personality.
Like he did a lot of mean stuff to Jessica Simpson that she wrote about in her book. And like, he just like was not a good partner and has just been known.
Were they even together though? Like 20
in the early
years 2000s? Ago?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. No, it was a minute ago, but I've heard there's like a lot of rumors that he's not so nice to ladies.
She is okay. Rumored to be what Your Body is a Wonderland is about, but I've also heard rumors that that's about 1,000 people, so I don't know for sure, but there are rumors that it is about her. And similarly to Liesl, I've heard many things that he's not the nicest and can be a little problematic, but right. has lots of other redeeming qualities. Not that that weighs out the negative, but obviously his voice and other things make this a difficult question for myself included.
Yeah. So I am going to put some of the, you know, rumors and the negativity towards women aside, because I think that'll just make it a little bit easier. Personally, for me, John Legend has the stain of Chrissy Teigen like all over him. And I just really don't enjoy Chrissy. I just think she's annoying. Like, there's always some, you know, silly stories about her. I just don't enjoy her. So that's why I would avoid John Legend. Sorry, King, but that's who I would avoid. And, you know, John Mulaney, I think I would marry John Mulaney, and I think I would shag John Mayer.
Okay. I'm so conflicted.
I'm also very conflicted. I also didn't know these things about John Mayer. But okay, like if I'm ignoring that, then I would marry John Mayer. But if I'm including that, then maybe I shag John Mayer. And then I don't know. I feel also conflicted about John Mulaney because like he is having drug problems, and not that that's like a reason to avoid him. Like, I don't know if I want to marry that. Maybe he
needs space, you know?
Yeah, maybe he needs
space. Maybe he wants to be avoided.
But like, yeah. Maybe he needs the stability and encouraging positive attitude that you bring to the table, Gigi, and you are going to be the reason that John Mulaney lives a beautiful, successful, drug-free life.
Oh my gosh. Well, I hope that he does lead a beautiful, successful, drug-free life. But he also already has a wife that could probably help him with that. I think I'll marry John Legend, and this is what it's going to be. I'm going to shag John Mayer. Then I'm going to marry John Legend. This is non-exclusive to his marriage with Chrissy.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Meaning I then also get to hang out with their really cute kids all the time, and I'll avoid John Mulaney.
That's what I was going to say, is maybe I should marry John Legend to steal him from Chrissy and really twist the knife.
No, but that's why I'm saying, like, Chrissy can still be around. I'll hang out with Chrissy. I don't think she's a stain.
Oh, yeah, you guys can be a throuple. That's fine.
I happen to like Chrissy Teigen, so I have no issue with that. But here's what I'm thinking. John Legend brings something that no one else brings to the table, and that is the EGOT.
Right,
you may know,
which is Lily's most important feature.
I'm on the road, and I feel like a great way to get my EGOT is to surround myself by EGOT
with other EGOTs. Yeah, for sure,
because he definitely can, you know, show me the ropes. So I think that I have to marry him, but I also feel so much love for John Mayer that I feel like I also have to marry him. So John Mulaney's avoided for me. I don't know. I think I'm going to marry John Legend, shag John Mayer. But hopefully I can shag him a lot so he stays in my life, because I also kind of want to marry him.
Shag a lot. That's a new option. Thank you for that, Lily. That was beautiful. Geech, who are we shag marrying and avoiding?
So mine is based or was inspired by the novel that I'm currently reading, which is Percy Jackson, The Sea of Monsters. So it's going to be shag, marry, avoid of Harry Potter, Percy Jackson, and Katniss Everdeen, all the characters.
Mm. At what age, may I ask? Because
18, Harry, they're all 18.
Pretty young.
They're okay. All 18.
Okay, this is interesting. So I would definitely, I'm sorry, avoid Katniss Everdeen. He's like so annoying.
She definitely comes with a lot of baggage. Also,
she has so much baggage. Like, she's already in a love triangle, and she's just not that fun to be around. Like, she's just, you know, too busy like killing rabbits. Like, I don't want to be involved in that. Okay, so she's avoided. Then, you know, between, so we're talking the books or the movies?
I said the characters. You can interpret that however you'd like. When okay. I said that, I meant the books, but they're 18 plus.
Right.
But you can go based off of like the actors of the movies if you want.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to go based on the actors, and I'm going to say that I will marry Logan Lerman, Percy Jackson, and I will shag Short King Daniel Radcliffe, I guess.
I avoided automatically as Percy Jackson. The books are really hard for me to understand. It's not my reading level. I've said this 1,000 times. I really don't understand what's going on.
That's literally the reason that I like reading them, is because they're so buttery smooth and easy to read because they're for kids.
I don't feel like they're for kids. Every week when I read it, I am confused and I say something about it. So we're just not on the same wavelength, Percy and I. So I don't think we would be intellectually compatible. So now we're down to Katniss and Harry. I think I'm going to marry Harry for the clout, and I'm going to shag Katniss Everdeen. Because I don't, and I also don't want to marry her. She's too much.
Yeah, I would definitely avoid Katniss Everdeen. Then I would probably marry Percy and shag Harry Potter.
Okay, well, that was a beautiful activity. I hope that all of our listeners played along with us and did their own shag, marry, avoid. If you want to share your own versions of these shag, marry, avoids, or send us some suggestions for another time, feel free to DM us on Instagram. We would love to hear from you if you have any opinions about these shag, marry, avoids. Okay, so now we're going to hop into our main topic for today's episode, which is going to be all about generations, which I feel has been a hot topic for a while now with the Gen Z versus millennial, and it's only getting hotter. Like, I really think that this is really blowing up on TikTok, and people are really thinking about this topic and reflecting about this topic. So I would love to start out, and first of all, maybe we can try to define, you know, what we think millennial versus Gen Z is or looks like. What are the traits or attributes that we personally think? What are the dates that we think those categories fall into? All of that kind of stuff.
Yes, absolutely. I think that seeing this on TikTok has really gotten me to think about it, because my entire For You page is the Gen Zs and the millennials fighting over skinny jeans versus non-skinny jeans and side parts versus middle parts. And that's really gotten me to think of, like, okay, where do we draw this line in terms of age? And for me, I'm feeling Gen Z is until like 26, and millennial is from like 26/27 to like.
Do you mean like as of this moment, anyone yes. who is 27 and on is millennial?
Yes. Thank you for interpreting. Mm-hmm. To like, I don't know, 32, 33.
I think millennial goes up to like 40.
Because it does.
They can't have kids. That changes things, I feel.
No, like. Millennials can definitely have kids. Okay. Wow, okay. I love that we're already.
No, the whole thing is also like to me, millennial parents name their kids Brinley.
Everly.
Everly.
Okay. I like see that types. But like, then I just feel like you're put in another category when you have okay.
That's so millennial though, and to like be a mom with like a doormat with like words on it and like all of that is very like millennial to me.
Okay, I don't disagree. Okay, fair.
For me, and I mean, this is based on like the what has been proposed as the actual like cutoff or whatever. I think it's 1980 to 1995, if I'm not mistaken, which that checks out for my own personal and professional needs. It is funny though, because I feel like I remember like a couple of years ago being like, oh my gosh, like I'm, even though I'm a cusper, like I'm totally a millennial, like I'm not a Gen Z, like I'm not like on Snapchat in elementary school, like, oh my God.
And obviously that just had more to do with the fact that like the younger chunk was so young that like as cuspers, we didn't even feel remotely similar. But like now as we age and we're getting more perspective on it, it's pretty apparent to me that like 95 to whatever, like even going to maybe 2010, like it feels absurd because someone who was born in 2010 is 10 or 11 now, but like, you know, years into the future, I think it could be possible that it could include all of that. But I have also read that supposedly the generational cohorts are becoming shorter and shorter in time because there is this like exponential growth in how technology is changing our lives, and that like the younger you are, the more significantly different your life experience is or is going to be from someone who's like 10 years older than you or whatever, which I totally also see.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I feel like when I was growing up, millennial felt like just a term for young people. You know what I mean? Or like the tastemakers of the time. Like, I feel like there were BuzzFeed articles being like, you know, 12 things millennials like to do, you know, or whatever. And it just meant like young people. Like it didn't feel like it was a full-fledged generation. And then it was when, you know, Gen Z started to really grow up and become part of the actual conversation that I started to shift my mentality and be like, wait, actually, I'm probably not really identifying as a millennial, and I much more so identify as a Gen Z, or at the very least a cusper, which I think is its own, you know, unique individualized section. But Gigi, you started to bring up, you know, how technology impacts these generational divides. And I feel like that really does come down to like the crux of the issue is what level of technology did you grow up with kind of dictates what generation you fall into. And I feel like generations in the past have been really bound by like political events, right? Like baby boomers are like, their parents were just coming back from World War II, so they like went crazy. You know what I mean? And that's like what really defined the generation, was being in this post-war, you know, American era. And I feel like now it's much more so driven by technology and pop culture. Like, I feel like is such a bigger definer of generations. How do you girls think completely. Like technology plays in?
Liesl, I completely agree with you. And I think that most of me identifies as Gen Z pretty strongly, but it is the technology or lack thereof, or somewhere in the middle, that I grew up with that makes me identify more as a cusper or even a millennial. Because when I think about my childhood, I don't think about like, oh, being on my iPad. Like, iPads didn't even exist when I was like a real kid. And like, I didn't get an iPhone till I was in ninth grade. And so I definitely don't feel like technology impacted my younger years nearly as much as it has impacted some of the Gen Z. And even with apps as well, like TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, all of that, I feel a little later too, where it doesn't feel right for me to fully identify as a Gen Z. And that's why I'm a little cusper in that.
But way. But also Lil, like, consider that so many Gen Zs are Webkinz kids and like playing computer games, as opposed to like maybe being on your iPad or whatever, which is associated more with like these 2010 kids or whatever, or these like, you know, 2005, 2007, whatever kids, which are way more iPad. The thing is, like, I think there is kind of a Gen Z cusper group that we very much fall into of, after school, I go home and I play mini clip games with all my friends, you know, or I play Zaboomafu or Zootopia or whoever.
Yes.
Computer games, you know, like, I think that we are a strong community of kids who grew up on computer games.
That is very true. And I was overlooking that a bit. But the thing that I will stand by is that when I think about my childhood or like what I did after school, it's not, yes, the mini clips and the Zaboomafoos, like, they're there and like I'm not gonna overlook them, but like that doesn't dominate it. Like, I remember like doing more, like having play dates and like that's not the first thing that comes to mind when I think of like my little kid life. And I feel like for like my younger cousins, for example, now what they're going to think of is like learning TikTok dances. And so I do feel like there is a technology gap or shift in like how much technology I consumed as a kid, which like, yes, it was totally there. Like love my games, but it doesn't feel like the dominant force.
I totally understand that. Another thing I even saw this on TikTok was the like a VHS video of this girl in the 90s, like doing a Britney Spears dance that she had like either learned or choreographed herself or whatever. And the message or like the text that accompanied the video was something along the lines of like, we've been doing the same shit for years and years and years. It just looks a little different, which I agree with completely. Like we were out here making like music videos on iMovie as soon as Liesl had a computer. And so obviously it is different. And I agree, Lily, that like kids now are going to remember this, like learning TikTok dances in this Charlie D'Amelio era. But I feel like there is something to be said about the fact that like probably going back as far as like the 80s, 90s, kids were setting up a camera and doing dances and like watching it back or performing it for their family or whatever, in a similar way, like similar enough way to the way that kids are now, like setting up the iPad and, you know, doing their dances.
Totally. And one thing that I really feel very strongly is I feel so blessed and privileged to have been born when I was born. And I don't know if other generations or other age groups feel this as well, or even people in my own age group feel this as well. But I really feel like my childhood, I got to experience a taste of the past. You know, there were still some VHS tapes. You know, we had our home phone rocking. Like, you know, we had certain things that were not super technologically advanced. But as I grew up, like I've gotten to watch this explosion of technology, you know, and now be a young adult in such a unique time. I mean, obviously barring COVID-19 and all of her mishigas, like I really feel like we are so lucky that we've gotten to experience the spectrum of technology that we have.
So I have something that I'd like to connect here, which is another TikTok that I saw of this girl being like, you know, even though like I had to experience COVID-19, like in my 20s or whatever, like in college, I do get to be in my 20s when we literally have the roaring 20s again, which I do think is a little, ambitious to say that we're legitimately going to have quote unquote the roaring 20s again. But I do feel like there is going to be, at least in some capacity, an explosion of fun and debauchery in like the next year or so. Who knows if that will actually like persist for the entire decade. But for me, it then like, I just think of it, this generational thing, as like being woven into the greater tapestry of time, you know, like, and that the fact that we're experiencing COVID-19 and then whatever follows it at this point in time is gives me similar vibes to like, okay, the baby boomers are who they are because of their, where they were woven into the tapestry of time because of the events that were going on then. And similarly, like again, with millennials, they are the way they are because they experienced what they experienced, you know? And I don't know if 9/11 is a, plays any role in defining, the two generational cohorts or whatever. But another thing I'm thinking when I think of generational cohorts is the fact that like I'm pretty sure the main reason that we have them as like a concept and a function is that it's utilized for marketing purposes so that like people know how to market to the various generations better. And again, when you think of it like that, I do genuinely believe that like the millennials will find certain things appealing that the Gen Zers won't. And, you know, all across the board, it makes sense to me that marketing from that perspective would be more like fine-tuned.
Totally. Geez, you brought up a lot of things there that I think were all very great and valid. I agree. I think that us getting to have the roaring 20s in our 20s is quite a unique vantage point to be from, because I feel like, you know, pre-COVID, I got such a taste of the young adult experience. You know, I got to experience being on my own, being, you know, going out, partying, concerts, all of that sort of young adult debauchery. And then I was forced to take a break from that. And so now when I go back to that, like, I'll just be even more grateful and appreciative and have just a newfound joy and understanding in it. Whereas I feel like if from the time I was in college until now had been just like partying nonstop straight, I could be burnt out by all that partying by age 24 and be over it. But now I really feel like I can party straight until at least 30 and just really go hard. And then also, Gigi, you brought up 9/11, which I think, you know, it falls at an interesting time when we're thinking about generations, because it's like, okay, if the cutoff for millennial versus Gen Z is 1995 and 9/11 happened in 2001, you know, what is the difference between being a 4-year-old when 9/11 happened versus being an 8-year-old, you know, like, is there really a big difference there? Like, I feel like both of those ages didn't really understand what was going on, but definitely knew that something bad happened. And then obviously that impacted the way that they grew up from there. But I think that, like, that reiterates just how arbitrary the generations are at the end of the day, which I think is an obvious conclusion when we're, but at the same time, like, I do think that generations are important cultural, like, you know, distinguishers. And I think that they're still, like, interesting to reflect on, even though at the end of the day, like, they're kind of arbitrary. Now maybe we can dive into the skinny jeans versus wide leg jeans and the side part versus middle part debate and debacle that has been all over TikTok. First of all, what are your girls' opinions on these different trends?
I've been rocking a middle part since I was in 0th grade, so I'm proud of that. And that, I guess, that does really make me a Gen Z, but I still wear skinny jeans because, as a short queen, wide leg jeans don't always look good on me. So I guess in that way, I'm a little millennial. And that is why I think this debate is dumb, because you do what flatters you. It's not about, like, what area or how old you are or what cohort you're from. So, I think it's a really stupid debate. And it also brings up this interesting, like, affinity you feel towards your quote unquote age group. I just think it's interesting that when I see people on TikTok, like, so passionate about this debate, they seem to have so much pride to be a millennial or to be a Gen Z. And maybe it's because, as I said, I identify as a cusper in some ways, but also I do think I identify as a Gen Z, but I don't feel like any sort of, like, overwhelming pride or passion and, like, spirit for my team. Like, it doesn't feel like this debate that TikTok presents it as.
Yeah, definitely. Lily, I think it's so funny that you have just decided to, like, be you and live your life since, you know, kindergarten or whatever, when you started rocking a middle part. And you just never stopped, because personally, like, I definitely fell victim to the intense side part, you know, and, like, the Tumblr, like, kind of era. And then my part has slowly but surely, you know, moved her way over and over and over. I still don't personally rock a complete middle part because I feel like it's not that flattering on my face. And Lily, as you said, it's really about what flatters you. I do a little off center, but yeah, it's just funny that you have, you know, been a maverick since day one and just have never succumbed to the trends, and just stayed true to yourself. So that's beautiful, Lily.
Thank you. I mean, you two can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that I've been middle parting since the beginning of time.
Yeah, sure. I think so. I mean, you did have a brief stint with bangs, which, you know,
Lily, I also feel like you, like,
To be honest, my visions of you in the past, like when we were kids, was honestly more just like
no part.
Yeah, sorry for those who are only listening and not watching. I had demonstrated that I feel like Lily's part was just like everywhere and nowhere.
I'm just pulling up a quick photo of me as a child. Continue talking to confirm or deny my part.
Well, I mean, I definitely had a, like, there are some photos where I'm like, the part, like literally my part is at my ear. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. And I've definitely switched over to middle part over the last few years. But I feel like that has more to do with, you know, just the current trends. And who's to say that I couldn't at some point return to a side part? Because obviously we know that things go through the cycle of being cool, being weird, being funny, and then back to being cool again, you know? Mm-hmm. So like it'll find its place one way or the other. That's how I see it. As far as my jeans, I hate skinny jeans. Even when skinny jeans come back, I don't think I will be wearing them, but maybe. We'll see.
Right. Totally. The wide leg jeans have dispersed into the millennial generation as well. Like, I think that a lot of millennials are not holding on to their skinny jeans, which might be a sign that it's time to start, you know, circling back to something new. Who knows what that will be?
I also feel like, funny enough, there's like, you know how most of the time people will refer to like kind of an 80s jean as a mom jean. Mm-hmm. But like, I almost think that a mom jean to me now is like a wide leg, not culotte, but like a wide leg jean. Mm-hmm. Is what I see a mom jean being of 2020.
I agree. Like, I think a cool mom in 2020, yeah, like is rocking like some, you know, Free People like jeans with like a, you know, little wide leg. I don't know, where do mom, like Anthropology, you know, like she's like wearing some cool, you know, slightly wider pants.
Just to go back to the part for a moment, I can confirm that Gigi's entirely right, because in most of the photos I looked through, we couldn't source a part, but I have found a photo where you can see my part, and I would argue that's in the middle. So,
Lily, that's on the side, queen.
My head is tilted.
Queen, that's super, queen, super side.
Your hair is going from here all the way over there.
Okay.
But maybe, well, like Gigi did your hair.
We'll have to put this on the sophomore assistant's Instagram story and do a poll. Is Lily's part middle or side?
I'm seeing, though, part is here in the center.
Lily, make sure that you keep that photo. Keep that photo safe.
Keep that photo ready. Screenshot. Yeah. We're gonna post that on Instagram, and we'll see. We'll see what part that is. But yeah, I think we've covered quite a few fun topics about different generations. And we would love to know, you know, our listeners' thoughts as well on different generations and what your point of views are as well. You can always DM us on Instagram or send us an email, sophomorecitizens@gmail.com. Now to get into recommendations, I have a recommendation, which is a Starbucks drink order. Recently I've been into Starbies. I go through phases with her where I'm loving her, and sometimes I can't with the Starbies. But a really good order is, basically, I saw this on TikTok, and there's a couple different ways to approach the same conclusion, for me at least. Basically what I saw on TikTok was an iced chai latte, and you add the brown sugar syrup to that as well. And that's supposed to taste like cookie butter, which I've actually never had cookie butter, but I can definitely confirm that that drink tastes amazing. Like, it's very sweet, very, very Christmassy, lovely. Or I don't know why it gives me Christmas vibes, but I just feel like chai always gives me Christmas vibes. But what I have liked to add is also do espresso. So you can either do a dirty chai and add the brown sugar syrup, or you can get the iced shaken oat milk espresso drink. and add chai to that. So it is really a delicious adventure in your mouth. And I think that it's just a lovely drink to try out, and I would highly recommend it.
Wow, Liesl, I'm so excited to try that, because being that chai lattes are my favorite drink ever, that sounds incredible.
No, Lily, I think you would love it. Okay. I think you would love it. One thing I would recommend is, if you don't like things too sweet, maybe go down on the amount of pumps that you add. Cause like when you put it in the Starbucks app, like it will add like 7 pumps or something crazy. So, you know, if you take it down a little bit, it's a little less sweet.
Do you have a recommendation of the number of pumps?
I personally have been getting like an iced chai with like 3 pumps of chai and 2 pumps of the brown sugar syrup.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with that, we want to say thank you for listening to Sophomore Citizens, the podcast by young people for young people, with new episodes every Monday. So we will see you wise babies then. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and be sure to leave us a 5-star review.